Hello, and welcome to the Kind Life podcast with me, Claudia. This is a podcast dedicated to those who want to live a kinder life. In each episode, I'll bring you thoughts, reflections, and lessons to inspire you to live the kindest life possible. We'll talk everything from relationships to nourishing our bodies and movement, business, and even buying property. This space is dedicated to the dreamers who know that you can't have success without a little kindness. Now, let's get into today's episode. Hello and welcome to today's episode. So this is the first legit episode of the podcast and I am so excited. I asked some of my followers, which sounds so silly, but just people who I connect with on my personal Instagram, so Claudia Richardson, and I asked if I was to start up a podcast, what would you like me to talk about? Because there's a lot of things, there's obviously a lot of directions where I would like to go. There's a lot of things that interest me and things that I feel like I could provide a bit of insight, maybe, or just a seed, plant a little seed of thought or of potential into someone's brain that maybe wasn't there to begin with. And one of the common ones was sort of around my business or yoga and how I got into yoga. And the two are really linked. So if you don't know, I own a yoga and Pilates studio. So basically teaching yoga and Pilates and bar is my job and owning my business is my job as well. So that's what I do currently full time, which is, oh my God, crazy. I've never said that that's my full time job, but it is. And so me practicing yoga has led to that point. So I'm going to share that with you today in the hopes that this is inspiring, but also grounding in the idea that, you know, it doesn't look like what you think it looks like on Instagram. You see those kind of yoga accounts with the people who are frolicking on the beach and doing these, you know, hectic, cool scorpion handstands and stuff. And that's amazing. But that's just one little tiny part of somebody's yoga practice or somebody's life as well. So to take you back to when I was 15, so I have danced essentially my whole life. And when I was 15, one of my best friends dragged me along to a yoga class because it was provided to teachers at school and her mum worked for the school. So she went along with her mum and then she kind of convinced me to go along as well because it just seemed like a bit of a lull, to be honest, as 15-year-old dancers. So that was both of us. You know, we were great at yoga. We thought that we were the bee's knees. You know, we were just in the splits all the time, not too scared about flipping upside down or whatever. And it was fun. And what I slowly started to find was that yoga was not a place to kind of show up somebody else or to one-up them. It wasn't about how good I was compared to the person next to me in that class. I actually started to find that, well, it really helped me with stress through the rest of my schooling, so year 11 and 12. And it also kind of brought me back down to earth. And now what I know is that it's sort of that really gradual removal of the ego or dissolving of the ego that was starting to happen then. But being a 15-year-old, you know, the ego's running wild. What I also really loved about yoga was that there was absolutely no competition other than the competition that I was imposing on myself, which was, you know, just made up. But other than that, there were no Stedfords or, you know, end of year concerts. There was no needing to be better than someone to get a particular part in the concert or in the Stedford or in the troupe or whatever it was. And that was really refreshing to me, being a dancer, but also being at school. And obviously at school, you're trying to get, well, most people are trying to get kind of like the higher marks and to, you know, get a better mark on your assignment than your friend and all of that so that you can do what you want after school. And yoga was not about that at all. It was just about you being on your mat, doing you, and I guess detaching yourself from that competition, or myself anyway, because obviously that now I know is a really big theme or a really big lesson that I had to learn, is that competition or that comparisonitis that yoga starts to strip away. So if we keep going, I practice yoga really regularly every week. I started to get my mum, because obviously being 15, I didn't have my learners. So my mum would drop me off to some yoga classes like late at night, and that was great. And then I took a gap year, and basically I practiced yoga up until I got a job, which would have been maybe 2 or 3 months after I finished school. So I was going to studios and practicing sort of every single day for hours and hours and hours. And then I got a job and I just worked and practiced yoga. That's all I did for a whole year. I worked and practiced yoga. And the following year, I moved away for uni. So I started off doing a Bachelor of Nutrition and Dietetics down on the Gold Coast. And that was like my dream, to be a dietitian and to work with kids somehow, and basically just try and live the healthiest lifestyle that I could and support other people to do that. And it's sort of shifted, but the ultimate sort of goal, I suppose, has been the same, although I work with kids and also grown-up kids as well now. And if you have been to uni or studied, you will know what a toll uni is, and especially being away from close family and friends. So I moved away to a completely new space. I had nobody, no contacts, no connections, no anything. It was me. And whilst I am a very like individual person, I love being by myself, I love being independent, I also really thrive by having my circle close by. And so I didn't have that. And I sort of went through like a little bit of an identity crisis, I suppose. And about 3 weeks into my degree, I realized I absolutely hated it. And all that I'd worked towards for the last, 3, 4 years, trying to study chemistry and everything to get the best marks in order to get into the course that I wanted to get into, that was sort of all crumbling in front of me. And I realized that that's not what I wanted to do at all. And holy moly, big blow up in my face. And I ended up realizing that I couldn't run away from the situation, that there were things that needed to be done. And so I had to essentially make the most of it and ride it out for a year. And to support me in that, and to support me to, I guess, come to that conclusion, yoga was the catalyst. Yoga was there for me. Yoga was the place where I got to meet some friends, although they were a little bit older than I was, being now 18. A lot of the people back then, so over 7 years ago, yoga wasn't as practiced by younger people as it is now. And I'm stoked that, you know, there's more and more people my age and younger who are doing yoga. And it's not just kind of this thing that you do when you're retired and when you've got all kinds of time or whatever. Like it's a practice that's being implemented more and more and more for things like mental health and for things like physical health as well. And that's what it supported me with, was my mental health in particular. So, just the situation, the context. I had a bit of depression and anxiety. I was really, really down with the situation that I was in, knowing that I couldn't get out of it, knowing that I didn't really have any control. And I am somebody in the back of my mind who does love to have a bit of control over things. So that was tricky. I ended up trialing a few different studios, and I found one in particular that I loved, and it was about a 50-minute travel both ways from where I was living. And I didn't have a car at the time, so I was bussing it to yoga, 50 minutes there, 50 minutes back, for an hour and a half every day. And it was my saving grace. So it was the thing that kept me going, that kept me moving one foot in front of the other through a really, really challenging time in my life, a time of, I guess, isolation and, a mental health slide. But that was the support for me, really. It was in that year that I decided that I wanted to help other people in a similar way that yoga and the teachers that I had helped me. And so I started to, I guess, procrastinate with all of my uni study and assignments and things like that. And I would just like mock up little names for a studio and, my ideal timetable of classes and all of these kinds of things. And now I actually have, because iCloud is a thing, I actually have like these photos, because they weren't screenshots, because you didn't really screenshot back in 2014, but there are photos of my like scrap piece of paper with just times and random names for classes, like Fun with the capitals, F-U-N, Dementals, which was like the yoga beginners class that we sort of run now. I was very creative there. I'm a little more straight to the point now. And so basically I was just obsessed with yoga. I absolutely loved it. It supported me more than I think I will ever know, and more than anybody else will ever know. But yeah, it was my thing. And then quickly after I developed that sort of routine and that habitual practice, I got convinced, or one of my teachers highly recommended, that I start to practice Pilates to support me and my yoga practice. So to give me a little more strength, because I had the flexibility, obviously, being a dancer. So, you know, I was still able to do like splits and things like that, and that was not a problem. And it's still kind of, I guess, my default mode as well. But the strength has always been something that was a little lacking. And then I fell in love with Pilates, and the way that they taught Pilates was a bit faster paced than what I had done before. So I'd done Pilates before, but I'd never really liked it, because it was just, to me, it felt like just kind of rolling around on your back for a whole lot and not really doing too much. I would get the occasional like really deep core burn, which was great, but I love more bang for your buck, I suppose. Like if I'm going to go to a class and do something, I want everything to be touched. I want everything to feel like there's been some movement and some sweat. And I'm not the sort of person who would go to the gym and just work arms. I would do a whole body thing. That way I know if I can't get back, you know, for a couple of days, at least I've nailed the whole body and it's all good. And I loved how fast their Pilates classes were, how energetic they were, and really how they were supporting my yoga practice. And then I started to dabble in bar, and the end of that year, so 2014, my first year of uni, I signed up to a yoga teacher training and I did it. And it was, I think, just over a month long intensive. So Monday to Sunday, every day for a month. And I think we just took a break over Christmas. So I think we took either 2 days off or 3 days off, and maybe one for New Year's as well. And it was like 5:30 starts till about 4:30 in the afternoon. So it was huge days. It was hectic. There was a lot of practice. There was a lot of theory as well, but now looking back, I feel like I wasn't ready to absorb some of the philosophy and the theory that I've learned over this time. So basically, it was really just a personal practice intensive for me over those few weeks. I then started to teach my own classes. So I set up a little chalkboard and a timetable and a Facebook page, and I started to offer classes at the park that was behind my parents' house. And I would, I guess, advertise them in the really early stages of Facebook and Instagram marketing. And I would do that a couple of times per week. But being a uni student, I wasn't prepared to teach classes at like 6 a.m. in the morning. So I would have this like 8:15 kind of time slot. And to be honest, it wasn't a very popular one, especially out in the park and in Cairns. If you know Cairns, for a good portion of the year, it's either raining or it's stinking hot by 8:15 in a park. Anyway, at least I think so. So it wasn't too much of a hit or a success. And it also wasn't a success, because then I would have to go back to uni. So I would do that kind of on my little holidays or my uni breaks when I would come home to Cairns, and then I would go back. And so the following year, so after I'd completed my yoga teacher training, I switched degrees. I started my degree in speech pathology. So I'm a speech pathologist by trade, or by degree, I suppose. And I then started to teach for free a few times each week down in Brisbane. So I would just try and offer my classes for free as much as possible, because obviously, or maybe not obviously, but there are a lot of yoga teachers in Brisbane. There's a lot of yoga teachers kind of everywhere, but there's a lot of yoga teachers looking for studio jobs, especially in Brisbane. And me having only done my training, you know, a month or two ago, wasn't really looking like some, you know, they wanted experience, which is fair enough. So one big thing that I can say to anybody, and this is regardless of what you're wanting to do, but especially if you want to teach yoga, Pilates, bar, if you want to teach in a gym, if you want to, you know, become a PT or a group fitness instructor of any sort, I would suggest you to get as much experience as possible for free because it will pay dividends later on. And I know you're time poor and I know, you know, there's all of this stuff, especially now in the kind of more professional development sort of world saying, you know, don't offer your services for free. You know, people need to value your services, blah, 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 blah. But I think in the early stages, when you've literally just been signed off, it's okay to offer your services for free or for a discounted rate, depending on what you're doing. You know, if you're a tradie or something like that, you might try to get a few more cash jobs or something that is at a reduced rate compared to, you know, what everybody else is doing so that you have a bit more experience because experience in the long run is better than kind of sitting on your hands for a few years saying I graduated or I completed this course 5 years ago and I've not done anything with it. That's my opinion anyway. And that's a big part of my story too and where I've gotten to and how I've gotten to where I am today. So I taught a lot of classes for free each week. I still didn't have a car as well down in Brisbane. So I would get on public transport with a hectic yoga mat. So it's like those Lululemon ones, the 5 mil ones. And if you have one or if you have one of our kind mats, they're heavy. They're, you know, like they're a good workout in itself, just carrying that around, let alone over your shoulder in a strap on public transport. I'm kind of swinging around, knocking people as I'm getting into the seats. But anyway, we managed and I was able to teach around my full-time uni schedule, which I really, really loved as a uni student. That was one of the reasons why I wanted to do my teacher training as well, was to kind of find a job that would be flexible around a full study load and pracs and then, you know, intensive blocks at clinic and all of that sort of stuff. And that is something that I know a lot of people talk about. I've spoken to some high school students actually about this similar idea, how being a PT or being some kind of movement instructor is really a nice way to get a bit of money on the side when you're studying because you don't have to go in for shifts. You could, but you don't have to, and you can kind of do one here, one there, and really tailor it around your study load. So I think it's a really useful thing to do, obviously, if that's like a calling, if you actually enjoy movement and if you want to help people move their bodies. There's plenty of other things that you could do as well that have a similar sort of concept behind them, you know, just an hour here, an hour there, babysitting, nannying. It's the same principle that goes back to that. I then started to go to a studio that taught bar and taught bar in a more dancey kind of fashion. So the previous studio that I'd gone to, it was really kind of rigid and structured and it was a lot of reps of the same thing. And then I went to this new studio and there was just a whole lot more grace and flow and slightly more choreography, I guess. And I really, really enjoyed that being an ex-dancer. And I found that just going to these classes for like a month completely transformed my body. And in this time, I was probably the unhealthiest that I've ever been. So I just moved cities again. I had started my second degree, sort of like throwing my hands up in the air at the nutrition and dietetics kind of dream, being a dietitian. And there was a bit of a snowball situation with with my health and just with the circle that I was in a very fun, lighthearted way, but I wasn't kind of being my best self and I wasn't eating and doing the things that my best self would do. And so I put on a fair bit of weight, to be honest, in that first year of my speech degree. And very quickly, though, when I started to do bar, my body just changed. It was almost instantaneous. And I thought, oh my God, like how are people not doing this? Like I have done the gym. I have done, you know, the various programs that were sort of around on Instagram and stuff around that time. And nothing changed my body and shaped my body, especially my thighs, like bar did. And then I was hooked. And then I signed up to a teacher training as soon as I could. And I did my bar teacher training. Shortly after this, I then got a job teaching bar at a big studio. It's now closed, but a big studio in Brisbane. And because I had yoga as well, they were able to kind of give me some sort of stretch and relax classes too, which was really fun. I then just thought I might as well get my Pilates teacher training. And in my bar teacher training, it was actually run by a really, really well-respected facilitator of Pilates teacher trainings in Melbourne. And so I had what I thought was a lot of kind of Pilates-based knowledge and Pilates principles and techniques that I would apply to my bar teaching. And so I just kind of thought, I pretty much know most of the things that I want to know about Pilates. I know how I want to teach Pilates. I just need to get a ticket that will allow me to do that. Having the three modalities, so having yoga and bar and Pilates, then made me significantly more employable in the already saturated kind of industry that the Brisbane boutique studio space was. And I started to get just more and more covers and then more and more actual jobs as a teacher at different studios and some really, really, really big studios and now online kind of brands and businesses that I used to teach for. So I was working approximately, I think it was about four jobs at any one time. I was also working in like an acai bowl bar too, towards the end of my degree. So I was studying full time and I was working, I think, yeah, about four different jobs between hitting up acai bowls and then teaching classes as well. I graduated my degree and I came home and I got a job fairly soon. Well, I got a job immediately after I graduated. And then I landed my dream job shortly after that. So that was what I had been working towards getting throughout the remainder of my speech pathology degree. And I landed that job. But I very quickly became a little bit bored. So having worked about four jobs plus studying plus all the other things that you do at uni, working a kind of a 9-to-5 corporate style job was leaving me feeling a little bored. And I started to reach out to some local studios here in Cairns. So I'd moved back to Cairns and gyms. And I just offered to cover the classes because like I didn't need the money. I wasn't trying to, you know, be a full-time yoga or Pilates or bar teacher. I had my full-time job, my dream job. I was stoked. I just wanted something on the side. And so I offered to cover, but then the studios would just get me on immediately as a teacher. So did the gyms. And I kind of had my pick of the time slots and the classes that I wanted. And then I ended up sort of leaving a few places just because the times and other things, it sort of wasn't worth it with everything else that I was doing. And I started to think about doing my own thing. So I was teaching, you know, upwards of 10, 12 classes maybe outside of work. And then I thought, why don't I kind of do my own thing? And the reason why I wanted to do that was because I wasn't able to teach bar the way that I want to teach bar or the way that we teach bar at the studio. And this was sort of lacking in my weekly schedule. So I was able to teach yoga how I wanted. I was able to teach Pilates, although I wasn't teaching too much Pilates, actually. It was more yoga, a few Pilates classes, no bar. And I really wanted to teach bar again. So a lot of you listening would have come to my classes when I opened up or when I started operating as Bar and Co. And it was basically just a bit of fun, something to keep me busy and doing the things that I loved, especially teaching bar. I have, and I still have, an incredible group of about 7 women, some of whom I just talk to every now and then, but most of them actually still come to my class, or my studio rather, and one of them, the beautiful Tash, teaches for me now. And so it's so amazing that these ladies have been with me. I'm gonna like get a little bit teary. have been with me from not the start, because they haven't been with me since like 2014 when I was in the park, but actually one lady has, who's just taken a little break from the studio, but everybody else has been with me from when Bar & Co started. And I just, again, you know who you are, and I love you all so much. I'm going to wrap this episode up here because it's going to be a little bit of a long one, and I will chat to you in the next episode. So there'll be a part 2 of this one, my yoga and business journey. But before we leave today, I just want to leave you with a really quick little mindful breath exercise. So as long as you're not driving, just take a moment to become aware of your body and maybe find a comfortable seat. And if you are driving, just pull over for a sec. It won't take very long. And once you've found your comfortable seat, so the thighs can kind of soften down, the sit bones feel anchored, allow the shoulders to fall away from the ears, and if possible, close the eyes. And now just begin to notice the state of the breath and the quality of the breath. And in this simple noticing of the breath, I wonder if your breath expands. I wonder if there's more depth, more space. It's pretty incredible what happens when you place your intention or your awareness on something. They say that where intention goes, energy flows. And this little exercise really highlights that. If you bring your awareness, if you bring your attention to your breath, then there's more space, there's heightened quality that occurs there. And so if that can occur just in the breath by simply bringing your awareness, your intention there, I wonder what could happen if you move your intention, your awareness to other things in your life that you'd like to cultivate, where you'd like to send more energy, more action. Thank you so much for listening today. I will see you in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you can find more ways to be kinder to yourself, to others, and to the planet. If you could leave a review, that would mean the world to me. That would also let me know what you love, what you'd like to hear more about, or to delve into more next time. And if you subscribe to this podcast, then you'll be the first to know when new or special episodes are launched as well. You can find me on Instagram. My name's Claudia Richardson, and there's a dot and an underscore after that. You can also find my studio, which is kind.studio on Instagram, kindstudio on Facebook, and you can head to our website, kindstudio, all with a Y in there, .com.au. And then if you head to kindstudio.com.au/podcast, then all of the show notes are there as well with any links or special offers that we talk about in each episode. Until next time, bye.